But like it's a rule or something. A fratfic written by Marv with a V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Frank doesn't celebrate Christmas or go to Christmas parties. Except that he does when Red asks, insists really. If it's a choice between being alone and kissing Matt Murdock under the mistletoe, the choice is easy. Not for Frank. But what is? He didn't celebrate Christmas. Not anymore. He tried to tell Red that, and the bastard wouldn't hear of it. No objection he raised even put a small dent in Red's stubbornness. Frank tried everything from Christmas is for kids, to I don't celebrate that goddamn holiday anymore, to I've got nothing to wear anyway. Red wouldn't be moved. He simply said, 8 o'clock, December 24th, Frank, kissed his cheek and went out on patrol. The next morning, a tux that was conveniently Frank's size and just his style, black on black, like his heart and soul, appeared on the back of his bedroom door. It was neatly pressed and smelled faintly of red, of that woodsy, slightly earthy smell that Frank knew he could credit to unscented deodorant, Red's personal preference. He rolled his eyes and sighed, cursing the manipulative bastard he called his boyfriend. There was no saying no to the man. Red made sure of that when he showed up at his door at 7:45 on Christmas Eve, just to make sure Frank couldn't bail on the party at the last minute. Frank was used to seeing his boyfriend in a nice suit. He had a collection of them, but there was something about the red silk tie Red wore that he kind of liked. "You're undressed," Red observed with a frown. "How the hell would you even know that?" Frank retorted, giving him a doubtful look. Red just smirked. "I know." Frank rolled his eyes, but made no move to get dressed for the party. The thought that Red had picked up on the fact that he was running around his apartment barefoot in a pair of faded jeans and an old t-shirt amused him. He didn't care about the state of those particular clothes. They were comfortable, and it had been that kind of day. The migrants had been relentless, so he'd cuddled up with Max instead of getting his shit together. Big deal. He rubbed his hands against the stubble that bordered his jar and muttered, "Do we have to go tonight?" "Yes," Red said with a tone that allowed no argument. Frank gave him one anyway. "Why?" "Because you're important to me, and I want people to know that," came the surprisingly soft reply that Frank refused to let affect him. "You want to trot me out in front of your friends like some kind of show dog?" he grumbled, but Red only smiled. "Got a problem with that?" he murmured huskily, making Frank's breath catch in his throat. "No," he said, trying to sound annoyed and failing entirely. "I just want to know where we stand." He fucking knew where they stood. He and Red disagreed on just about everything that mattered. Faith, second chances, and the effectiveness of the legal system for starters, not to mention mortal sins and Red's particular brand of vigilantism, which, Frank was sorry, but he still thought of the devil as a half measure, now that the rest of the city agreed with him. They all thought Red was a right little hero, and they weren't exactly wrong about that, but he wasn't planning on telling his boyfriend so. His head was plenty big enough as it was. Red was a smug bastard more than half the time. He just proved that point by saying, "Here's where we stand. I'll be waiting by the door while you shower and dress and mutter, 'fucking Red,' under your breath as many times as you need to get it out of your system." "Fucking Red," Frank grumbled, just because he could. Red's answering smirk pleased him, and he marched to the bedroom to retrieve the suit. It wasn't the one he wanted to wear tonight, but he left the painted tactical vest and arsenal where it was, and got ready for Red's dumb Christmas party instead, because he did try to make him happy occasionally, and that was the one thing they actually did agree on. Pleasing each other. In this bedroom, and outside of it too. It wasn't as bad as Frank expected it to be. There was a party of 24 mingling in the offices of Nelson, Murdoch, and Page for the little celebration, a thank you to the clients and to the team that had helped them through the year, and an acknowledgement of the friendship that were as important as family, if not more so. Frank kept his head down for the most part, preferring to sulk in a quiet corner by himself rather than join in the storytelling going on by the punch bowl, exaggerated tales of safes in court and outside of it, told for the most part by Foggy Nelson and toned down occasionally by Karen. Brad came to join Frank in his corner after about 20 minutes, bringing him a mojito and an apologetic smile. Frank let him, mostly because it was nice to have Brad to himself for a few minutes. "Thank you for doing this," Brad murmured as Frank sipped his drink. "Like I have a choice," Frank muttered, rolling his eyes at him. "You did," Brad insisted, leaning close to whisper to him. "You'd have skipped town or hidden out in one of your safe houses until the party was over." Frank frowned. "You wouldn't have found me?" "I would have," Brad admitted, his tone almost apologetic. Frank looked at him for a long moment. There was something so soft about Brad tonight. He looked good in the glow of 3 dozen golden fairlights, but that wasn't it. No. There was a tender nostalgia in his expression, and Frank realized then that he'd celebrate Christmas again. For Red, and for no other reason. "You're telling me that you wouldn't dump my ass if I skipped town on Christmas Eve?" he muttered, a smile tugging at the corners of his mouth. "It would take more than that for me to dump your ass," Red said hesitantly. Frank grinned. "Good for you, altar boy. He's proud." "I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that," Foggy Nelson muttered, grimacing. He'd stopped a foot away from them and had doubtless heard every single word. Frank didn't care. Well, he did a little bit, for he made him nervous in a way that Red didn't. He was wary of him. People tended to underestimate Foggy, and that was reason enough for Frank to keep his guard up. He wasn't eager to return to prison. "What do you want, Nelson?" Frank asked with a sigh. "Be nice," Red admonished him under his breath. "I just came to say Merry Christmas, and to point out that you two are standing under the mistletoe, so you have to kiss," Foggy announced with the smug air of a 13-year-old who just triple-dog dared him to do something stupid in front of everyone. Frank refused on principle. "What, like it's a rule or something?" "No." "Prude," Red muttered teasingly. Then he swung his cane up and knocked the sprig of mistletoe down, earning a reproachful look from his law partner. Frank stomped onto the mistletoe, crunching the leaves into a carpet with a grin, while Foggy glared at the two of them. Frank suspected he'd regret that later, but right now he didn't. Not a bit. Some stupid tradition wasn't going to tell him what to do. Neither was Foggy Nelson. Point, castle. "Spoil sport," Foggy complained as Red laughed and kissed Frank anyway, a sweet, chaste brush of the lips that left Frank wanting for more. "Merry Christmas, Frank," Red murmured as Foggy rolled his eyes and went to get another drink. Frank grinned. "You too, Red. You too." He kissed him properly then, with depth and feeling, crushing Red's lips against his mouth, craving bliss and a sense of belonging and finding both in the man who wouldn't let him be alone on Christmas Eve.